Hello, listener. Hello, world. NFL Week 13. Winter is coming. The NFL saw its first proper snow game. Oh, snow. Now, that's just great. Oh, the weather at Lambeau is frightful. But their offense is so delightful. Now, Rodgers is good to go. The points will flow, the points will flow, the points will flow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. But their defense is clearly shocking. And with the Lions putting on a show, it's cheerio, cheerio, playoffs no. Meanwhile, in wildcard news, the Cards are carrying all the aces as Washington's defense folds yet again. And flushed with success, Jameis puts down his mega bucks on Tampa and wins a golden playoff chip. Talking of chips, Kelly's 49ers. What can you say? More sacks than passing yards in the first half as Cap snaps under the heat of the freezing Chicago temperatures. We used to think of Cap like Superman or Spider-Man, blasting his way to amazing wins. Now his only connection to Spider-Man is that he too gets sticky fingers when using the web. Over in the AFC, Lynch pinches it as Denver rags the Jags. The bell sounds on New York's winning run, and boy are those Chiefs fun to watch. This season would make a great book or movie comedy. Last night's comic caper? How about The Adventures of Chuckleberry Wynn? In the Sunday night matchup, a clash of the Titans. Well, at least Carolina played like the Titans. Seattle, though, were hoping to avoid a tie. Something Cam Newton managed pretty well with his fashion faux pas. Just a one-off outfit mistake, Cam said. Really? Do you ever look in the mirror after games? All that and more on this episode of the Next Fan Up Power Rankings. Justin, hello, and let's do this.
Listen.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
So, Justin, how you doing? I imagine you're a lot chirpier than you were this time last week.
That's hard. Big win. Big loss of Earl. We'll talk about that later. Little bit up, a little bit down.
It was a huge win, though. Huge win. And it put you in a great position for the playoffs, too.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely. And what kind of psychopath would have thought that the Panthers would win that game? Man, that would be ridiculous.
Yeah, let's face it, nobody would think that. I certainly can't imagine anyone who would say that. Maybe Greg.
Yeah, that sounds like a Greg thing.
Yeah, I'm sure he put something in my cupcake, I'm sure. So, Justin, we'll start off at number 32. We'll go through them all quickly, but I have a little bit more of a focus on the pretenders. Then we'll get round to our see, you've thrown me right off the track there with that very funny message. Ha ha. Yes, I'm going as fast as I can. Really, I am. At number 32, we have the Cleveland Browns. No change for the Browns. They are 0-12, and it looks like 0-16. And thank goodness for the Cleveland, they were on a bye this week.
Yeah, sadly for them, they lost to the bye 45-0. not a whole lot to say about Cleveland. Let's just move on.
Number 31 and down one spot, the San Francisco 49ers. And what on earth was that, Justin?
Oh, might that have been the worst performance we have seen this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It was, you know, you always say, oh, well, these warm weather teams, they don't like to go and play in the cold. But let's face it, I mean, probably 2/3 of the guys on the roster have played in cold weather before at college. So no excuses. It was a shambles.
Yeah, not only was it one of the worst team performances, Colin Kaepernick has to have had the single worst individual performance of the NFL this year, at least at the quarterback position. That was like historic bad.
It's amazing to think he could be so poorly. I mean, the guy's got a super strong arm. You think he could have got the ball? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because he's got such a lack of touch in his throws that he couldn't get anything to play. It was just terrible. And what happens when it's going so badly? Bring in Blaine Gabbert. that's really going to help, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before. If Blaine Gabbert is the answer, you are asking the wrong question.
Right, right. At number 30, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're up one spot, but not because they've done anything of any particular note. They're up one spot because San Francisco dropped down a spot. So Jacksonville, they're number 30. And questions and questions over Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I'm willing to give him the benefit of a doubt of this being one lost season, and you know, give it another look next year. You know, I'm willing to bet that Jacksonville is going to bring in an offensive mind, you know, try and get their quarterback right, their, you know, all those weapons on offense, right? Maybe a Josh McDaniels or something along those lines.
But do you think somebody as smart as McDaniels is going to go to Jacksonville? I don't know.
I suppose that's a good point.
I guess when you're a much vaunted coordinator and you've got a lot of jobs to choose from, you should really be picking the job that's got the best quarterback situation. Isn't that how you would approach it?
I suppose. Would being the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars be a demotion from being the offensive coordinator of the Patriots? It might be.
I think so, yeah, definitely. I was actually looking earlier on at just the records of all the teams, and you realize, yeah, okay, Jacksonville are having a bad season, but I didn't never really give any thought to their actual record. It's 2-10. It's terrible.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. It really is incredible. Okay, New York Jets, they're on Monday Night Football tonight. They're at number 29. No change for them. And there's no change for the next few teams above them. 28, the LA Rams. But we have to stop there and just congratulate Jeff Fisher on one of the greatest pieces of hallucination and mind-bending magic that David Copperfield would be proud of.
Yeah, I can only assume that before the season they had some sort of agreement in place where they would give him one additional year on his contract per win, hence the two-year extension.
Either that or he's got some rather incriminating photographs of the owner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Probably more of that. In all seriousness, Justin, I just cannot believe that they're extending this guy. Why?
Oh, I admire that just absolute devotion to mediocrity. That is tremendous.
I'm drawn back to the Hard Knocks episode when he stands there in front of the team and he's almost fist-thumping, you know, pumping his chest. We're going to do this, guys. We're no way we're finishing 7-9. Not on my watch. And absolutely spot on. He hasn't got the hope in hell getting to 7-9. Oh, poor Rams. Poor Rams. You've got a feel for them, haven't you? Okay, no. We don't feel for them. Right, number 27, the Chicago Bears. And they had the pleasure of playing San Francisco. No change for them. I'm not moving them up after beating San Francisco because I think you and I could give them a pretty good go, to be honest, Justin. Especially with your super strong shins.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, this is a bottom third team beating a bottom two team. You're both right where you need to be.
And listener, if you are wondering how I know about Justin's super strong shins, we were having a conversation off air about his kickboxing. Was it kickboxing?
Yeah.
Kickboxing prowess, and he's got shins like the same size as Seattle. The Arizona Cardinals are at number 26. They beat my Washington team yesterday. It was a disappointing game, disappointing all round, but we can get to that a bit later on. Number 25, the Indianapolis.
Wait a minute. did not realize that Washington was such a bottom feeding team that winning them doesn't move you up the ranks at all, even if you're a bottom six team. Would you care to explain why Arizona didn't move up at all with that win?
Well, Arizona didn't move up at all with that win because generally, over the course of the season, they have been so poor all round. And last night, they were playing a team that was perfectly suited to their style. Even though that they are having a poor season, they've still got David Johnson there and Fitzgerald. And if there's two things we cannot do at Washington, that is cover a decent receiver in the slot and also cover a running back, either running the ball or coming out of the backfield and catching the ball. So I don't think it was no badge of honor for Arizona. that was just set up perfectly for him to win at home. And Washington will always succumb to a team who can run the ball. For example, you're Seattle guys, you would slaughter Washington. Whereas I think a team like New England would slaughter Washington. But somebody like Oakland, who are also higher up our rankings, they would struggle a bit against Washington because they don't run the ball very well and they tend to throw the ball deeper. And Washington's good at covering that. So it just was a perfect storm for Arizona. So they can stay where they are. They win next week, then they'll go up.
All right, well, I'm...
Have I convinced you?
No, but let's move on.
Number 25, the Indianapolis Colts. They are playing... No, they're playing in the Monday Night Football game tonight, aren't they, against the Jets. A great shoot-off between the 25th and 29th ranked teams. I'm sure America can't wait for that to happen.
Oh, yeah. I can't change the channel away from that fast enough.
Yeah, that's an awful one, isn't it? Really shocking. Number 24, the Tennessee Titans. They're on a bye this week, but they are a team who we think are on the up, and they're tied, of course, for first place in their division. Above them, one of the teams are tied with the Houston Texans. They're down one spot at number 23. I can't believe the Houston Texans are in the playoff race, Justin.
Yeah, that's the result of being in such a lousy division. I mean, you know, Houston went up against a much better team, so I don't totally hold it against them, you know, that they lost. And, you know, it was a somewhat respectable margin. And it was a fun game to watch, honestly. Games at Lambeau with the snow coming down. I think that's just one of the best visuals you can have. I mean, if like that to me is as football as football gets, is a game in Lambeau where it's snowing. This is a team where, I mean, they're just held back so much by the quarterback. That's a real, real big issue. I think if they had a great quarterback, you would see that offense open up so much. I mean, they have DeAndre Hopkins. I think Will Fuller could really be a very, very good wide receiver. They just don't have anybody throwing him the ball.
Still the fourth seed in the AFC, but I wonder how far away we are from seeing Tom Savage. Although I believe is he injured at the moment, Tom Savage?
Last week he was out with like some sort of elbow infection. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure how that happens, but hopefully he's on the antibiotics and he'll be back soon.
Yep, because the other guy they've got on the roster is Brandon Whedon, so you can understand why they're sticking with Osweiler. Plus they've got that big contract hanging around their necks. But you do wonder, come the off season, what's going to happen there? Because that's the trouble is the coach and the GM said, this is our guy. We think we can get him to be a premier quarterback, and whoa, he's a mile away from that. Right, into the pretenders, and at number 22, we have the Carolina Panthers, who were edged out in a thriller last night.
I still can't believe you picked the Carolina Panthers to win that game. For the listeners, before the game started, like I called out Neil and Greg in Slack saying, what are you thinking? And then, of course, you know, my CX going to thrash them because that's about the most predictable result in football this week. This team is when your star quarterback is being benched for the first play for not wearing a tie. That's all you need to know about the trajectory of this team right now. Unfortunately for them, I think they're just too physically capable to drop any further and get like a better draft pick. But there's nothing positive going on in there. They could maybe bounce back next year, but they're so done.
Is Ron Rivera on the hot seat?
I mean, he was in the Super Bowl last year, so no. But I think that, all of that kind of Super Bowl goodwill he earned last year has evaporated. So now he's just back to just being Ron Rivera. And so next year is really going to be where he'll either be working his way out the door or, reestablishing himself as a really well-regarded coach.
Riverboat Ron, yeah. Okay, number 21, the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're starting to drop down five spots. They're 5-7, and they look to be done. Wentz looks like he's struggling a bit.
Yeah, he is. And we talked about this, that kind of rookie roller coaster. I mean, the issue in this game, though, they had Carson Wentz throw the ball 60 times. Maybe if your quarterback is like Drew Brees or like Tom Brady, I can forgive you if you throw the ball 60 times. Nobody should be throwing the ball 60 times, though, if you're not one, like one of those guys, especially not a rookie. If you just told me going into the game he's going to throw the ball 60 times, I would tell you, oh, well, he's probably got a bunch of picks, and they probably lose by a pretty good margin. Just really, really disappointed with that. I'm still high on him, though. If I'm James, the Eagles fan, or any of the other Eagles fans, I don't feel any worse about him. He's just, got to work through some stuff.
That's true, but there's a big task for the Eagles in the offseason to provide him with, A, a running game, and B, some quality, or at least one or two quality targets, because he's throwing the ball 60 times, but he's struggling in terms of weapons to throw the ball to.
Yeah, we talked about it before. How much better would his life be if he had Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, well, the chipster had a plan.
Yep, and that plan is currently working wonders in San Francisco.
It certainly is, yeah. Number 20, we've got the Buffalo Bills. No change for Buffalo. Did they throw away a game yesterday to fall to 6-6?
This game, they were so good in the first half, but I don't think it's fair to say that it's all on them. I think that you have to give a lot of credit to Oakland for making great adjustments at halftime. Halftime adjustments are a real thing. You make changes, you see things that they're exploiting, and you come back strong. And I think that it wasn't just the Oakland offense who, turned things around, but you look at Tyrod Taylor's numbers in the second half, he was like 10 for 30 in the second half, right? He was, whereas he was like 9 for 10 in the first half. I mean, it was a night and day difference. So for me, I like Buffalo. I think they're a good team. I think that right now they're a middle of the pack team. Their 6-6 record, I think, accurately reflects where they are. I'm still not totally sold on Tyrod Taylor, but just overall, they got good players on defense, good players on offense. They're just not quite there.
One of the things too that I noted when I was looking at this, preparing for tonight, and yes, listener, there was some preparation done for tonight. The Buffalo Bills are the 17th ranked defense in terms of points allowed, and we think back to the off season when Rob Ryan joined his brother there, two defensive gurus, and very much a middle of the road defense.
Yeah, which means this might be the best Rob Ryan defense of all time.
Could be, but that's where they're struggling, I think, a little bit. They're scoring plenty of points. They're averaging 25 points a game, and that's as good as anything in our pretenders section here. Conceding 22.8 points per game, that's not going to get it done. Certainly not in the AFC East, at least. Mm-hmm. Number 19, the Minnesota Vikings. No change for Minnesota. They played, the defense held up well against Dallas on Thursday night, I thought, and sitting at 6-6, one game back from a wild card, they're still just about in it.
Yeah, I think they might have thrown that game away. I mean, they're a real tough matchup for Dallas because they can do a really good job taking away the run. It was their mistakes really that cost them the game. I mean, throwing the ball away on a 2-point conversion. At the very end of the game, that horrible interception. I think they're close to getting Adrian Peterson back, though, pretty soon. He can come back in shape and contribute. This could be an interesting team to watch. If you have a great defense and a great running game, that's a tried-and-true formula.
Yeah, even if he can come back and just get three and a half yards to carry, that would already be a huge boost to the offense.
Yeah, I think that would be more per play than they're getting off of Sam Bradford's arm.
Absolutely, yeah. Number 18, we've got the Cincinnati Bengals. They went up 5 spots. They're still 4-7-1, and they're done. They're not going to the playoffs. But I thought, yeah, here's a team that lost their best player and looked terrible without him. But they seem to have figured something out this week.
Yeah, I think this is the Cincinnati Bengals that we always knew were in there somewhere. Every year, every week, anytime I picked them to win, I was basically picking that this team was going to come out. Glad to see that they finally did. I like when they play well. I mean, you're right. They're too far back. They have no AJ Green. They have no Gio Bernard. So they've got no shot at the playoffs. But, you know, this is a team this is like one of those cases where this is a team that's not going to the playoffs. But if I were a fan, I would still want them to win as many games as possible and just like have that positive momentum going into next year and hopefully sort of, you know, pick off where you left off.
And did you see the one play where the offensive lineman was tackle eligible, Fisher, and Dalton threw him the ball, and he'd clearly been watching his wide receiver mates in practice. He got the ball, tucked it under his arm, he turned upfield, a nice swivel, turned upfield to run up and get a few extra yards, and somebody sneaked up behind him and knocked the ball out and gave up the fumble. It was one of those great offensive linemen who thinks he's a wide receiver play.
Yeah, I love watching things like that. When you see them, like, they put it under the correct arm and they tuck it and they like try to make a move. I mean, I don't blame him. He's never going to get the football again. So I think it's proper to do everything you can on that one play.
That's fantastic. You know, looks like it's in slow motion, and they sort of stop and they view the field in front of them and think, yes, I think I shall go in this direction. And then boom, the ball's gone. They're like, what the hell happened there? And anyway, the play was over. Lost the ball, fumbled, turnover. Anyway, Cincinnati up to 18. Number 17, San Diego Chargers, 5-7. They're done. That was a tough loss for them last night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But looking forward for them, I'm going to stick this out there for you, listener. San Diego Chargers, the most talented team in the AFC West.
I'm going to disagree.
Best quarterback, best running back.
I mean, is Philip Rivers definitively at this exact moment better than Derek Carr? I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, career body of work it's not even close. It's not even a conversation. But right this second, Derek Carr is playing some really good football this year.
Okay, but stick Rivers behind that offensive line.
I suppose. Yeah, I mean, it's so hard because, you know, obviously, you know, give Philip Rivers Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. So I mean, maybe. You know, they're, you know, who are the playmakers on defense?
Bosa, Hayward.
Yeah, but I guess Bosa and Hayward. But maybe. I mean, they are a very, very talented team.
They have that cornerback as well. I forget his name now. Who was up there as potentially the best cornerback in the NFL.
Injured as well, but you're right about that too. But yeah, so I think it's become the official story of San Diego that they are potentially maybe like they could on any given year be the number one offense and the number one defense, and they're still like no threat to anybody in the playoffs.
More importantly, Justin, when we do actually get drops on this podcast, then that one about you saying you're right again, I will need that one as a drop, please.
I'm going to edit that out of the show. No one's going to know what you're talking about.
Okay, moving on from San Diego up to number 16, the Miami Dolphins. I dropped them four spots. And I dropped them four spots because this team is a pretender. This team is not a contender. They played against a solid defense, and they went back to being ugly old Miami again.
Yeah, to me, they exposed themselves as like, they're that guy in the bar who always likes to act tough. And then as soon as like, somebody actually calls them out on it and says, okay, let's take this outside. They're like, wait, what? Really? Oh, crap. That was Miami. They, you know, they're like, yeah, no, we're a good team. We think we can beat anybody. We're confident in ourselves. Okay, look, you're the 6th seed in the playoffs. Oh, no. And then they crumble immediately.
I think that sums them up perfectly. So what we're saying is that Miami do not have the shins for the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Number 15, the New Orleans Saints, and I've enjoyed watching Breeze this year, but he had his worst game of the season yesterday. They're 5-7, and they're done, Justin.
They're kind of like the San Diego to me in that they could beat any team in the league, literally any team in this league. They could lose to any team. They could absolutely lose to any single team, and I guess that makes you squarely in the middle of the pack.
Yep, and if you look at their points scored and their points conceded average per game, they are just perfectly matches what you said, Justin. They score 28.9 points a game, that's second in the league, and they concede 27.9 yards a game, and that's 30th in the league. So there you go. Number 14, we have the Green Bay Packers. No change for Green Bay this week. They stay where they are. It was 6-6 on the season. I think that sums them up. They look like an 8-8 team to me. They're one game back, but I don't trust them. I think the weather won them that game as much as their performance. And I just don't trust them, Justin.
Yeah, I agree with you. However, what I will point out is that I think over his last three games, Aaron Rodgers has like a 9-0 touchdown interception ratio. He's starting to play some really good football again, and that team goes as he goes. I mean, if he can be, you know, the best quarterback in the NFL, they can win a lot of games. But you know, they just have so many problems all over the place. You know, their running backs currently are Ty Montgomery, who I think is a wide receiver.
And
Christian Michael, who you know, has been cut 5 times in the last 365 days.
It's been cut by both our teams.
Yeah, right. Twice by mine.
Yep.
And so, you know, if that's what you're relying on, and especially as we go into the winter, you know, when the conditions get worse and worse, you can't rely on, I think, airing the ball out. I have no faith in them as a playoff team whatsoever. I think that they'll be like 8-8 sounds right, maybe 9-7.
And there's a great story there to make you realize. For everybody who listens to this podcast, never believe an off-season story. Eddie Lacy was the off-season darling, could threaten 2,000 yards this year, could do this, could do that, could do anything you like. And where is he, and what did he do before he went out injured? Nothing.
Yeah, anytime somebody says they're in the best shape of their life, that means that there's been questions about their shape, so I am already not very confident in them.
It's a bit like when somebody has an operation, they say, yep, the operation was a complete success.
Yep. No one's ever going to say, yep, surgery was a disaster.
That's right. We did the wrong leg.
Dr. James Andrews is not going to say, boy, we bungled that one. That was, whew, man.
Can you imagine coming to the podium and saying, sorry, guys, bad day in the office?
Yep. Boy, you guys ever just have an off day? Yeah, me too, man.
Yep, you'll see a quarterback in about 3 years. all right, up to number 13 and rising fast. And you'll have to tell me how they're rising fast, Justin. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, up to number 13.
I mean, good wins. That's everything to do with it. What's that? Is that 3 in a row now over the
Chiefs?
Seahawks. And then this week, who was it this week?
They beat San Diego.
San Diego. So that's 3 consecutive weeks. Winston is playing well. I mean, in the case of the game versus the Seahawks, I mean, they just that terrible matchup, kind of like what you talked about with Washington, especially with us missing our center and not having key defensive players. You know, they probably took on the very worst iteration of the Seahawks this year. So a little bit of benefit there, but. They're playing well. I don't think they're going to win that division, but I certainly can't count them out.
I do wonder, we've seen quite a lot from Gerald McCoy in the last couple of weeks, and also Noah Spence, the rookie. And Spence is maybe somebody we'll be talking about in a few moments' time when we have our extra points. But they've certainly looked terrific. And, of course, with Mike Evans and Jameis Winston, there's always a chance there. Up to number 12, and we have the Baltimore Ravens, who I have to admit I was wrong about in the offseason, where I said I didn't see them winning more than 4 or 5 games. That's the second thing I've got wrong this year, Justin, which is terrible. They're leading the division, and they have a chance to win that division.
I liked Baltimore in this offseason, but for completely the wrong reasons. I was thinking, okay, you know, Mike Wallace, I think this offense is going to get real explosive, real fast. But that defense, ooh, it's going to be rough. Instead, their offense is just mediocre. And that defense is really good, especially versus the run. I don't know if they found the fountain of youth on that side of the ball or what, but they're playing great football.
I'm sure the drug testers are driving up there very fast, even as we record this podcast, Justin.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you know the nursing home where they keep most of their players is probably getting tested around the clock now.
Absolutely, yeah. And above them in one spot, the team who they are tied, who are tied with Baltimore in that division, the AFC North, that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I had the, I watched quite a bit of that game last night as I was flicking back and forward between the Washington-Arizona game. Pittsburgh doing the business against the Giants and really, really made the Giants look look like a considerably poorer team than we thought they were.
Absolutely. They did a really good job pressuring Eli Manning. They did a especially when Jason Pierre-Paul went out, they actually did a pretty good job keeping Big Ben clean. Le'Veon Bell is playing some playing really terrific right now. But you're still wrong. Baltimore should be above Pittsburgh. That was true last week. That's true this week. They won the head-to-head. They're ahead of them in the division. Pittsburgh beat the Giants by a touchdown. Baltimore blew the doors off of Miami. In my humble opinion, these teams should be flip-flopped.
So you think Baltimore should be 11 and Pittsburgh 12?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Okay, Justin, I'm going to do that
not,
just for you.
And perhaps even the two teams above them should maybe be slid below them.
Yeah, I can see that too. Yeah, I did think about that. Not that there's any NFC East bias here on this podcast, Justin. I would just want to say that when I was watching that Pittsburgh game, I did quite like to see, I think it's Davis. I'm going to say Sean Davis, but somebody Davis in the back in the defensive backfield, along with Artie Burns. I think they were two of their first three picks, or maybe the top two picks in the draft last year. I thought both of them looked pretty good there, so a bit of a good development for Pittsburgh because they were weak in that area. But Le'Veon Bell, I mean, the guy just seems to bounce off, and as he bounces off tacklers, he seems to gain momentum from the from being hit. It's terrific to see. Hope he can stay fit because he's a huge weapon for them. Up at number 10, we're into the contenders now, and yeah, you're right. We've got Washington at number 10 and the New York Giants at number 9. And yeah, you could be right. Maybe those Washington did beat Baltimore. They lost to Pittsburgh. But yeah, maybe those four teams, they're pretty much of a muchness.
Yeah, I think that they're all fairly equal. It's interesting. So Washington beat Baltimore, lost to Pittsburgh. Baltimore beat Pittsburgh, but lost to Washington. The Giants, I'm not sure what they've done so far other than beat the number one team on the power rankings. This is a situation where we're splitting hairs, and I don't think at the end of the day anybody actually cares what order we have them in, because they're all, I mean, there's no wrong or right order for this group of teams. They're all just so, like, equivalent.
I think that's right. I'm just trying to see. The Giants must have played Baltimore already, no?
Let's see. Again, you know, the Giants have a terrific record. I know that. Started the season with a win over Dallas. But let me pull it up real quick, and I'll tell you exactly. I think they have Dallas this week too, which is going to be a really fun game to watch. And
okay, you look for that, and I'll just tell the listeners that Washington actually dropped out of the playoff race. Sadly, with a loss yesterday and the fact that Tampa Bay won. Tampa Bay now are a half game ahead of Washington. I think Washington has winnable games. I think they can beat Chicago. I think they can beat Philadelphia. I think they can beat the Giants. And we'll see. They play Carolina as well, that mighty powerhouse Carolina. So there's a chance Washington could actually win all four games. And if they got to, what would that make them, 10, 5, and 1? That surely would be enough to get to the playoffs. I guess it very much depends on the Tampa Bay schedule, of which I'm not 100% sure of. But, Washington, fingers crossed. They played poorly yesterday. They couldn't stop Johnson out of the backfield. It was very annoying. As for the Giants, at number 9, well, the Giants... They looked under pressure. Offensive line did not look good last night. And Pittsburgh's not the greatest team when it comes to pass rush. But they hold on to the fifth spot, the fifth seed, rather, in the NFC playoffs. Up at number 8, we've got the Detroit Lions. They're up one spot, again, slowly climbing. And I would say, Justin, Matthew Stafford must be... He must be in the running for the MVP?
I think he's on the ballot, but he's not, I think, under serious consideration. But I think it's fair to say he's at least on the ballot, because he is, you know, they're looks like they're winning their division. They're actually just a game behind my Seahawks for that number two seed even. And so much of it is because of Matthew Stafford, who's playing some really inspired football. You know, a great win over the Saints. Granted, their defense is terrible, but, you know, they've now won four in a row. You know, look back, they, after beating Indianapolis in week one, which is, you know, not the most impressive thing to do, they lost three in a row. And, you know, everybody was calling for the Cooter to get the axe. And don't look now, they've only lost once since then. I mean, they're playing great football. I think they're a playoff team for sure.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, we laugh about Jim Bob Cooter, but he has done well. If you look at Stafford's, you know, the first few years of Stafford's career, he was really just chucking the ball as far as he could, big arm, go for all the throws. Now he's got some poise. He seems to be going beyond his first read when he's dropping back. He looks like a professional quarterback, and he looks like a guy who's matured. And maybe in 4 or 5 years' time, we'll be looking at him as one of the premier guys, as one of the 4 or 5 real franchise quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, this offseason, I'm sure we'll do like a quarterback's ranking, and I can't wait to see where Matthew Stafford ends up.
He's going to be high up that list. Mm-hmm. Not only because he's developed all those other aspects to his game this season, but you still just absolutely love that arm. Right, we're up to number 7. The Atlanta Falcons at number 7, down one spot, and they lost a weird old game to the Kansas City Chiefs, two of our top teams. And do you think the difference there was that Trufant didn't play, and that just makes the defense just a little bit worse than usual? Or was it down to Matty Icepick and his pick six, and he's, what would you call that, a pick two?
Well, obviously the combined pick 8 had a lot to do with it. Let's not put that squarely on Matt Ryan, though. I mean, give credit to Eric Berry. Everything Eric Berry has overcome to get back to where he is, and to do that in Atlanta, where he, you know, was born and raised in front of his family, that's really cool. That's a really great story. But this is one, though, that these two teams were so evenly matched. It was such a good game. And I think that, if you know, neutral field, 10 games, I think it's 5-5. I think it's right there. And so, it came down to, I mean, they had the lead by a point. And then, you know, that pick two, like, turned that over, like, changed that. So, I mean, if they just, you know, if this play that, I don't know how many times that's ever happened in the history of the NFL, or if it's ever happened since, like, the 2-point rule is kind of new.
Yeah, I doubt that, yeah.
Yeah. So if this, like, first time everything didn't happen, they've got the lead with almost no time left in the game. It was such a good competitive matchup, and I think it always would be between those two teams.
But isn't this also what Matt Ryan does? Do I recall correctly that your Seahawks played Atlanta in a championship game?
We played them in a divisional game a couple of years ago.
They were winning, and he threw it away.
No, it was kind of the opposite, actually. And granted, you know, this was, I think, Russell Wilson's rookie year. This was the last time we met them in the playoffs. But Russell Wilson had, you know, just led another giant comeback. This is, you know, right after we did that against your team, Washington. And then, you know, takes a 2-point lead with, like, 60 seconds to go. And then he just hits Tony Gonzalez twice for, like, 40 yards each time. And then they kick a chip shot field goal, and the game is over. So, I mean, in the past, you know, back when he was Matty Ice and not Matty Icepick, he was known for kind of the opposite. But I really do think, I think it's more a great play by Eric Berry than it is a bad throw by Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to give Berry some credit there. He'd tell you that guy, I don't know how old he is, but after all he's been through, he can still run. Did you see him run on the, was it the, I think it was the pick two, where he was like lightning going down that field. It was hugely impressive.
Oh yeah, I mean, so he was part of the exact same draft class as Earl Thomas. He was picked a few picks before him, and
right,
like, and you know, everybody said like, you know, yeah, there's always safeties pick, but these two guys aren't normal safeties. Like these are special talents, and that's been absolutely true.
Yep, and we have just looking ahead to the draft, we've got that coming up again. The draft this year, a couple of really special safeties coming out. Just going back to the Baltimore Ravens, there, Justin, they have played the Giants already, and they lost to the Giants. The Giants beat them 27-23. So, like you say, those four teams, Giants, Redskins, Steelers, and Ravens, all in a, chuck them in a bag and pull them out one by one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number six, we've got the Denver Broncos up one spot. They went to Jacksonville, did the business, won the game, got out of there with their backup quarterback, or their future starter in Paxton Lynch. And no Trevor this week. He is suffering from anxiety over his first name, but he'll be hoping that he's back next week. At number five, the Seattle Seahawks. No change for Seattle. They won handily last night, but of course, all thoughts turn to the dreadful injury to one of the game's great players in Earl Thomas.
Yeah, we were just talking about generational talented safeties, and he's the other one. I think that, a friend of the show, Matt Williamson, sent out a tweet right after the injury that, you know, if Earl Thomas doesn't play a down, is he in the Hall of Fame? He thinks so. I think it's close, but I think that, you know, given that he's only 27 and just getting into the prime of his career, hopefully he can bounce back from the injury, because his best years should actually be ahead of him. Like, he should be just getting into his finest play, which is that's unfortunate for the rest of the NFL, if that is coming up. I mean, it's just a fluke injury. It's unfortunate. He's tweeting about potential retirement. My sense is that that's just, you know, being emotional right after that. And that's what a lot of his teammates have said, too, is that they really don't think that there's, you know, that that's anything other than just, you know, just saying what's on your head at the time, which everybody goes through. But, I mean, I'll be honest. Given that Earl Thomas is almost certainly out for the rest of the year, I would take these Seahawks, which you have here at number five. I don't think without Earl Thomas they beat Denver. I don't think they beat Atlanta. I think it versus Detroit, it's real close. It's a real head to head. But so, like, I mean, as the Seahawks homer or Seahawks super fan, you have them too high right now.
Interesting. I would disagree with you there. I think that although they've lost Thomas, and of course you can't replace somebody like Earl Thomas, they have got Bennett back. So the defensive line will be back together. Chancellor's there. You've got the corners. I liked what Rawls did last night. Looked terrific. I think you've got time then to prepare for the playoffs without Thomas, where you can scheme things up maybe a bit differently, get the guy who's going to be replacing him to get settled into that role. I wouldn't be so worried. Obviously, huge player for you, but you've won big games without him before, so I think you can win. I think you can win without him.
So last week was the first time he's ever missed a game in his career, and we lost to the Buccaneers.
But you have other playmakers who win games for you. So
yeah, and I mean, I went into it on detail on yesterday's show, so I won't go into it too much this year. But the truth of the matter is that the whole defense is built around his skill set, kind of like you would build, you know, you build an offense around your quarterback skill set. And so, I mean, this game will definitely have to change quite a bit. You know, I will be interested to see what that looks like. You know, to see, you know, because I think that they're going to run just a very, very different approach now, which will be, I guess, something to watch.
Give us the name of the guy who's replacing him.
Stephen Terrell, who you will recall the first play he was in, he was beat for a touchdown over the middle. He also gave up a touchdown to the very first touchdown in the game against the Buccaneers, the first of those two. So hopefully with some weeks of preparation, he can kind of figure his stuff out. But yeah, so far, early returns are discouraging.
Well, I'm sure there's some positivity in there somewhere, Justin. Number four, the Kansas City Chiefs. They play Oakland Raiders this Thursday, I believe, in the big Thursday night game. And finally, it is a big Thursday night game. No change for them at number four. Number three, the Oakland Raiders. And although they are number three in our power rankings, they are the number one seed currently in the AFC playoff picture. And just in front of them is the number two seed, the New England Patriots. They stay there in second place. But like you with Earl Thomas, they had a huge blow knowing that Rob Gronkowski won't play again this season.
Yep, and just like we talked about, so this is his third herniated disc in his back. I mean, at a certain point, you start to run out of discs in your back. Like, there's a finite number of vertebrae there. And so I'm absolutely concerned about his long-term career prospects. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this is the last one, and, you know, they were all flukes, and they never happen again, and he plays until he's 40. But I hope he's still playing when he's 30 at this point.
Yeah, back injuries are never good for sportsmen.
Definitely not.
No. So number two is New England Patriots, which means the Dallas Cowboys remain at number one. They clinch the playoff spot, first team to do so. With Washington. Washington loses, so Dallas clinch a playoff spot. We're delighted to give you that early Christmas present. They're the number one seed in the NFC. Look like they're going to go home field advantage. And, yeah, the path to the Super Bowl is, it really only has one roadblock in the way, doesn't it, Justin? Or will we be looking at Detroit getting the revenge over Dallas?
I think they beat Detroit just because I don't think Detroit has the defense to really slow them down. But Detroit can beat them. I'm fine with Dallas being number one. But, you know, I can see scenarios where so many teams that could be in the playoffs would beat them. I mean, you know, Washington, if they meet once again, could very well beat them. I mean, that was a close game.
Two close games.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins was absolutely unstoppable. Their grinded out running approach, will that work against Atlanta, who scores points in bunches? Ooh, I don't know. That's a lot to ask for. The Giants have already beaten them. My Seahawks, I feel very confident my Seahawks would beat them, even without Earl Thomas. I mean, you know, my team shuts down the run so well, and then after that, I'm not real worried. And granted, Dallas could very well, you know, win all of those games as well, but. You know, unlike a lot of the games on their schedule, I don't look at any of those games and say, "Oh yeah, no, they've got that wrapped up."
I don't think apart from Baltimore, I don't think they've played a team with who are leading a division or are one of the main teams of this season. So it's still question marks over Dallas, but they're sitting in a good position, and home field advantage, of course, is a good advantage to have.
Yeah, the highest ranked team that they played this year was the New York Giants, who we have in at number nine, they lost.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, Justin, that's our top 32 for this week, and we've got extra points here. And I thought it would be fun just to say, right, there's four games left in the season. Who are your various offensive and defensive players of the year, rookies of the year, and all the rest of it? So we'll just start off with the offensive player of the year. Now, I'm just going to say at the start, Justin, I'm not doing this old MVP of the league and an offensive player of the year because, to be honest, it's usually one and the same, or it should be, and it just makes a mockery of the whole blooming thing. So we'll leave that to somebody else. We'll just do offensive player of the year and defensive player of the year. So my offensive player of the year at this point, and Monty, this is for you, Derek Carr, because of his ability to bring that Raiders team back from near death and lead them to that terrific, 10-2 record?
Yeah, I think I'm going to echo that sentiment, actually. I think that right now, but do I want to?
Who else would be? Matt Ryan?
I'm having, so this is the one that's the hardest for me.
Doug Baldwin?
It's Marshawn Lynch. No, so for me, my vote, and this is, it's so hard. I either want to go Derek Carr, Ezekiel Elliott, one of those two.
Ooh.
I know it's uncommon for running back to be, you know, your MVP / offensive player of the year, but it's not unheard of. He's a real good football player, and he is. Starting to lap the field in terms of like rushing yards.
Where I would take Elliott out of the conversation is that I wonder how much of it is a product of that offensive line, which is, I think, without doubt, the best in the league.
Yeah, although I think
you could say same for Carr, I suppose. But
yeah, well, he's got a terrific offensive line, and I mean, are we going to take points away from Carr because he's got Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree? I mean, you know, football is not played in a vacuum. You know,
I just need to cut that for a drop. Football is not played in a vacuum. Right, got it. Carry on.
Yeah, so we don't play this game in small household appliances. It's a team game, and so it's I just have a hard time with the argument that his wide receivers are really good or his line is really good, so we can't give him any credit.
Hmm. Okay, so come on, give me who's going to be Elliott or Carr, and is there anybody else?
I'm going to give it to Carr,
and not Matt Ryan.
No, Matt. I mean, they're not even like clearly winning their division at this point. And so you have to be doing something incredible to be in this conversation if you're not like one of the best couple of teams in the league.
The only other one, could you say Matthew Stafford? Is he going to be in our conversation? He's got the 8-4, second seed currently, or third seed? They're certainly high up in the seeding.
They're the third seed right now, and they could be the second seed if my Seahawks falter.
I mean, 21 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, a 100.5. passer rating, which is 0.2 of whatever it is, a percent higher than Derek Carr.
Yeah, I think though that the record and the how difficult the division is that Derek Carr plays in makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's fair. And would there be any merit in Dak Prescott, Tom Brady?
Oh, Dak Prescott, definitely not. Tom Brady. You know, with how well he's played, if he hadn't missed those first four games, maybe, but, I mean,
19 touchdowns, one interception and a passer rating of 113.1. Now I know a lot of that it drops considerably when your interceptions go up, but still that's pretty good.
Yeah. I just, for me, he's out of consideration because of the suspension.
Okay. So we'll ditch him. That's about it in the quarterbacks. No running back. What wide receivers? Any wide receiver you think could any doing anything special enough?
I don't think any one wide receiver is dominating the league in the way that you need to be under consideration for that.
Okay, so that's our guys. I've gone Carr. You're going Elliott?
Yep.
Okay, defensive player of the year? A little bit harder this time, I think.
Yeah, let's go with yours first.
Well, I'm going to go... I'm going to go with Khalil Mack, and that is just because, because I don't think it's a particularly strong year in terms of candidates, and B, he is just getting stronger and stronger as the season goes on, and I think he's going to be a huge impact when it comes to the playoffs. He's a difference maker, an absolute difference maker on defense.
I think that's a really good choice. I'm going to do something similar, but I'm going to go with Von Miller. I think that, you know, if you look at these last couple of games, especially, Von Miller has dominated the football games. So he's going to be my pick because not only does he have the numbers, he leads the league in sacks, but, you know, just the eye test, you know, he jumps off the screen to you.
Yes, good call. I wonder if Mack does more all round in terms of the run blocking as well. I mean, Mack's got 10 sacks, Miller's got 12 and a half. Gosh, I tell you, if Justin Houston had been healthy all season, he might be up there too.
Oh,
what a division! What a division for pass rushers. Okay, so you're going to go Von Miller.
That's right.
Okay, and I'll take Mack. And your rookie offensive player of the year has to be Elliott, I suppose.
Oh, 100%.
Since you've got him as your overall guy, I've gone for Dak Prescott. I think he deserves to have an award. He's been terrific under pressure. His passer rating stands up there with anybody else in the league. And he's got a record of, 10-1? It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm really going to disagree with you on that one, though. He hasn't thrown for over 200 yards in 3 weeks.
Mm. how many of those games has he won?
The exact same number. I mean, the exact same number as his team's punter. Let's not give him too much credit for being on the winning team. So you know, to me, I look at that team, and I think clearly without Dak Prescott, they're probably in about the same territory anyway. I mean, threw for 139 mm-hmm. yards last week. I mean,
but they were 139 quality yards.
Oh, well, as long as they're the good yards, you don't want to throw for the bad yards. You know,
okay,
so he threw for 195 yards against Washington. In a it's a shootout. Like, what did Kirk throw for like 400 and some?
Oh,
and he responded
easy,
with 195. No, Dak Prescott, he's a good player. And you look at a lot of really, really good players in their rookie years. Like, statistically, I think he probably compares very favorably with, like, your Ben Roethlisberger's, your Russell Wilson's, in terms of how, you know, how they would use their rookie years. But, you know, he averages, looks like, for the most part, around 250 yards a game, which is okay. He managed to throw for over 300 yards twice this year, so that's cool. But he is clearly... He is a cog in the wheel. He is not the machine.
Okay, so it's a no from you then, I'm hearing, Justin. So you'll go with Elliott there as well. And defensive rookie of the year, again, similar to the defensive player of the year. Not a lot to choose from the rookies, but you've got to think maybe Noah Spence and the guy I've gone for, Joey Bosa.
I'm going to go just with Bosa.
Just looks exciting every time you see him getting better and better.
Yeah, I mean, the whole like San Diego contract thing to start the year is so stupid, and it's what stupid San Diego always does. They always get in fights with their players because they're stupid. But Joey Bosa is so good. Oh my goodness, is he a terrific football player? He is tremendous. I know like there's some question, you know, he doesn't really fit their scheme. I don't think it matters what your scheme is. I don't think it matters if your offense, like you stick him in, he's just such a good football player. Like you could be a basketball team and he will probably be the best player. Like he's just such a great athlete. He's so fast, so explosive, so strong. I mean, it's, you know, veteran NFL football players don't have answers for him. He's so much fun to watch. You want to talk about guys who jump off the screen. I look at him and I see a guy who's very likely going to be in that defensive player of the year conversation, come next year or the year after.
Absolutely. And you think of that AFC West, each team's going to have one of these great defensive players, Mac, Bosa, Houston, and Miller. Exciting times. It's one thing that really annoys me, Justin, is this, he doesn't fit into our scheme. Washington plays a 3-4. That's our base scheme, if you like. But we play that about 17% of the time on defense. Right. So actually, you know, players nowadays, they must fit into lots of schemes. And the scheme changes so often, it's hardly an issue for any player these days. But yeah, Joey Bosa, fantastic. I am going to come back to you and say, though, Justin, that I'm going to choose my MVP of the league. I'm going to go back on what I said, because quite clearly this year's MVP is Justin Tucker.
Man, Justin Tucker is so good. And he's got, especially nowadays, like, you know, now that the PAT is a little bit further back, the value of guys with, you know, strong legs who, you know, it's not a stretch for him to hit that 30-yarder. Like, he could do that, you know, backwards with his left foot if he wanted to. So, you know, he doesn't even have to think about it. It's still just a chip shot to him. Line him up from 55 yards, it's still a chip shot. He just, like, walks up and doinks it, and the thing explodes off of his foot.
There's also a fantastic clip from last week's press conference where he comes into the press conference. You may have seen this, Justin. And he looks around and he starts sniffing. He goes, whoa, smells of up dog in here. And of course, one of the stupid reporters says, oh, what's up dog? And he says, I'm fine. What's up with you, dog?
Yeah. If we're going to go that route, then I have to give at least one vote to Marquette King, who is actually great punter for Oakland. Who also is a good athlete, has a touchdown this year, and he got a flag for picking up a flag that had been thrown and dancing with it.
That's right, yeah. And then he spiked it, didn't he?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic. Need a strong finish.
Yeah. All right, Justin, I think that just about
wraps we're officially off the rails. Get us out of here.
Yes, indeed. Somebody throw a flag. I'll see you next week, Justin. Have a great week. I hope your guys do the business on Sunday.
Same to you. Good luck to your guys. Before we go, of course, got to do our quick plug. Check out our website, nextmanup.wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. Email us, nextmanup@gmail.com. I really wish there was a Buccaneers fan who could tell us whether or not we should believe in the Buccaneers or not. If you believe in the Buccaneers, send us an email. At this point, we've been looking for a Bucs man long enough that if you just kind of like them, we'll probably get you in.
And tweet us about our rankings. We need people to tell us how terrible they are.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's usually the same people telling us how wrong they are. We could use some new voices telling us how wrong we are.
And Dizio, if you're out there, contact us.
Oh, man, he picked up one game on me this week. My lead is down to three.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
Call recording off.
Wait, you're not going to say bye? All right, fine.